Hello, and welcome back to the Geeks Menagerie. I'm Rodney Ford.
This is Roy Folker.
And with us tonight, we have a friend of ours who's a video game nutcase.
Hello, this is Nick.
Tonight, we'll be discussing our favorite video games, what we're looking forward to, and just general thoughts about up-and-coming video games.
Well, just to start things off, what do you guys prefer to play, on PC or console?
I would go PC. One of the main reasons is there's a lot more games to play, a lot more free-to-play games, and the independent games are a lot better, too.
That is true. Can't really deny that. There does seem to be quite a bit more free-to-play options on the PC than on consoles. How about you, Dee?
I'm a console guy. I like to work on my PCs, and I like to game on my PS3, so. But I have to admit, the price of the games is definitely becoming a very big motivator to play less PS3.
Speaking of price, so what? I've been out of it a little bit. So what are the? Is it $60 now for a console game?
Yes.
And I think actually that's pretty. I think PCs are about the same too now, aren't they? Or are they still cheaper?
Well, it depends on the game. Like the Assassin's Creed 3 that just came out. If you get that for console, that's going to be $60. But if you buy that for PC, Steam released it at, I think it was $50 that they released it at. So you automatically save $10 by playing it on the PC.
We were able to get Assassin's Creed for $49.99 from GameStop.
And you pre-ordered that though, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Usually pre-orders, you can get pretty much any game cheaper.
Yeah, sure.
Well, and there's the other aspect too. How does it work on the PlayStation Network or Xbox Live for their online store? Is pricing comparable to say Steam on the PC?
No, nowhere near.
Like Steam always has those. Like they had a big fall sale, and you can get every single game made by Ubisoft for $60. So you get like six of their last like releases for $60, which is an amazing deal.
I will admit, I'm really looking forward to the Steam Pilot on Linux. I'm actually willing to set up a new Linux box just to play Steam games.
So when is... Now, are we referring to the TV version that they've been talking about?
It's the same thing.
Oh,
Steam's planning on doing... Well, actually, it's sort of a hybrid of it. They're doing a cloud-based version, but it's based still off of the Linux engine. And the cloud version is, the primary processing is done on server and rendered on your system. The Linux version, they're actually porting a lot of their games from the Windows platform, from PS3 over to the Linux operating system. And they're going to start releasing games that way. I want to say they're aiming for their first release to be in first quarter of next year.
Yeah, the Linux version of Steam is in beta right now. And what you were talking about, Rod, is that big picture mode. And what they're doing is they're making it easier than ever for you to give up your console and hook up your computer to your big screen TV and use your PC as your console now and run it off of your big screen.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that makes a little more sense. And I'm not opposed to that. So what games are you playing, or what is your favorite game to play?
For mine right now is probably going to be Natural Selection 2. Just came out on Steam, of course. It's kind of like a Aliens versus Predator. It's kind of like a first-person shooter combined with a RT real-time strategy like StarCraft. And it's a very unique game, and it combines both of those, and it's the only game that does that, really, that I've seen.
That sounds pretty sweet.
Cool.
How about you, D?
I actually can't discuss the game I'm playing because I'm currently contractually obligated not to discuss it. I'm in an alpha program, so But other than that, and you can guess which elf I'm doing. There's Assassin's Creed 3. We just plowed through. And now I'm watching Tracy play through Assassin's Creed 2. And for all of the weird controls in Assassin's Creed 3, I'm suddenly appreciating the direction that they went with the controls after playing 2. I mean, they're both incredibly fun, but the older games are definitely a lot more stiff.
Yeah, I guess I don't have a reference because I've never played any of them. I've seen the gameplay before, but I've never played them.
It's incredible.
Yeah, I'm currently playing Total War 2. Shogun Total War 2, I should say. And off and on, Star Wars The Old Republic, which has now gone free to play, which it's kind of limiting, but at the same time, if you've got a low-level character, it works out pretty good.
That reminds me, did you hear about your old-time favorite game, City of Heroes?
It's dead.
Quite literally.
Yeah, they put a bullet in it.
What was funny was they were still making a profit on it.
Yeah, well, that's the weird... Well, I guess I don't really know a whole lot about what happened the last couple of years with the game. I don't know if they went to a straight store version, just like most of the free-to-play games have gone, where you buy stuff as needed without a subscription.
Right.
So, but yeah, unfortunately, I don't really know exactly. I think they just finally just decided to shut it down.
Yeah. Dedicate resources elsewhere.
Sure.
All right, so let's see here. Just as a reference point, Dee and I are in our late 30s. How old are you, Nick?
I am in 26. We'll be 27 in May.
All right. So now, to give you an idea of the age difference here, Dee and I started playing, well, actually, I don't know about Dee. The first game I ever played was Space Invaders on the Atari. What was yours, Dee?
Pong. I played Pong on an old, oh geez, what system was that where you had the little dials, and Pong and table tennis were the only games on it.
Well, that was the first Atari.
Okay. Yeah, that's the first games that I ever played.
I guess technically, yeah, I did too. With the sweet paddle controllers.
Yeah.
So what was, so then in reference then, what was your first game, Nick?
My first game that, I don't know what the first game I played, but probably the first game that I owned was Mario Brothers for the original Nintendo. That, and then we had the arcade game Gorf, so I don't know how old that thing is, but it's like Space Invaders or...
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'm looking it up now because that's what the internet's for. Sweet. I like the arcade version. That's a pretty nice looking...
Yeah, I used to have a full arcade in my basement.
I hate you.
Yeah, I remember those games. Yeah, one of my favorite all-time games was, I want to say it's the Commodore 64. They had Dragon Riders of Pern. That game was just incredibly fun.
I remember that game, but I never played it. Now, that one was on floppy disk, right?
I played it on tape.
Okay, that was the tape drive. See, the...
Yep.
The first one I had for the Commodore 64, which was tape drive also, it was called Bruce Lee. And the graphics were so beautiful. You had a stick man, then you went like on a Donkey Kong level board, and you had to jump and grab all the lanterns on each level, and then fight ninjas, which were just different colored stick figures.
Nice.
Another one of my favorites. It was another tape game on the Commodore 64, and it was the first one that I ever played that had a load delay. And that was G.I. Joe. Oh, that game was fun.
Yeah, see, you were lucky. My dad never wanted to waste money on stuff like that.
We weren't allowed to have video games at our house. Our next door neighbor, was a spoiled single kid, and he had every game known to man. So, of course, we'd be able to go over there and just play whatever.
Awesome.
Yep, that was fun. And then there was the advent of the Nintendo system. That's when console gaming got real.
Yep. Just for a little bit. And then I think PC came back when they started with the first-person shooters and like Doom and Wolfenstein.
Yep. I remember I actually had a job where we started, after we were done working, we'd go up to the offices and take over all of the computers there and get everybody up and going on Doom and just have like a 3-hour after work Doom fest. It was hilarious.
Oh yeah, I played quite a bit of Doom. Oh, what was the, I can't remember. What was the name of the Nazi one?
That's Doom.
No, that's Wolfenstein.
Well, yeah, Wolfenstein. That was the one I was trying to remember. Right.
Well, I thought Doom also, yeah, Doom did as well, because they had the Ach mein Lieber every time you killed somebody.
Sure.
Wasn't that a hack or like an add-on? Somebody did like a mod to it?
Nope. Before you got to hell. No, maybe it was Wolfenstein I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I think it was Wolfenstein, because Doom was just a... If I remember correctly, Doom didn't have any reference to Nazi Germany.
I thought before Doom 66, or what is it, 1.666, they had actual people that you fought first. I don't know. It's been so freaking long. Yeah, we'll just stick with the fact that I have no clue and don't remember crap anymore.
It's because you're getting old.
Yeah.
This is true.
Dude, do you know how long ago it was that I played Doom?
Hey, let's not even think about it, because that'll just validate how old we are.
They've re-released it like 4 times. You haven't picked that re-release version up?
Nope. I have not played it again since my college years.
You're missing out.
Yeah. I mean, I've picked up some of the old Final Fantasy. I even went back and played Zelda. But, yes, have not gone back to Doom. And, which is hilarious, because when they released the source code, I did actually download the source code.
Speaking of re-releases, have you guys taken a look at the enhanced edition of Baldur's Gate?
No, I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah, it just launched a couple of weeks ago, and it looks pretty sweet. They've added new characters.
The elf looks like they're going to pee themselves.
Oh, sweet, they added... Baldur's Gate 2 features into it also.
The Candlekeep Library. You've got to be kidding. It's an iPad game.
Windows PC and iPad. And they're going to add OS X and Android probably the next month or two. I will admit I would like to play it on my Asus tablet.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Now, that reminds me, one thing that somebody needs to design... is a good generic Bluetooth game controller.
One that has more than a range of 2 feet?
Well, no, they don't have any that's not either keyed into the PS3, the Xbox, or is keyed to a specific dongle. Just a generic Bluetooth controller that you could actually connect with a, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, an iDevice or with an Android.
You know what's pretty sweet? I got the full game of Grand Theft Auto 3 and it works on my Android phone. That's pretty crazy, because that game just came out within the last 10 years and now it's working on a freaking phone. That just blows my mind.
That is quite a scary concept, considering, you know, the computer that's in your hand now used to take up a floor of a building.
Yeah.
Thank you, Star Trek.
Yeah, that is one thing that I've actually found to be utterly obscene. My current cell phone has, dual core gigahertz processor. The first computer I ever owned, I was impressed at the fact that it was a 486, an SX2, just 25, I want to say it was 25 megahertz. And yeah. No comparison.
Yeah. Well, do you remember that first Acer PC I bought? That was a 486 DX2.
Oh, yours was a DX4. I remember that.
Oh, was it?
Yep.
Hmm.
That thing was top of the line at the time.
It cost me $2,500. I have no idea how the hell I afforded that back then, but...
You guys and your buying pre-built PCs. I built mine from day one. My first PC I built myself.
My first PC was a laptop. And you can't really call it a laptop. It was actually more of a suitcase computer. It's one of those big, ugly green screen, yeah, it was impressive. Had a handle and everything.
Okay, now Nick, in our defense, like 92? You didn't really have a micro center to just go right out and buy everything.
Well, yeah, my first computer I built myself. First real computer.
Yeah, and when was that?
That was like 94.
Yeah, see, I bought that Acer. Oh no, I bought that later, didn't I? That was like 90.
No, you got it in like 92.
Okay.
Cause that was before, 94 is when we moved in together.
Wow, I'm old, I can't remember anything anymore.
You are old. I was in first grade in 92.
God. 92, I was graduating from high school. Well, 92, my mom was changing my diapers. Actually, I hope to God your mom wasn't changing your diapers in first grade.
Oh,
no, okay, well, since we're on the subject of technology, what other games that are designed for phones as apps are you guys playing? Other than Angry Birds, because everybody's playing Angry Birds of some type.
Honestly, I don't really play much game, like any games on my phone. I never really have time. I'm never really anywhere where I'm so bored that I whip up my phone and need to play a game on it. So, not too much.
My whole thing is, until I have a decent method of control, I'm not really big on the whole touchscreen games. The control is too hard, you end up covering your screen. I mean, I did pick up Final Fantasy III for my phone, and I also picked up the original Prince of Persia, but that's about where I limited that.
Yeah, I guess my problem with it is the screens are generally, even on my phone, which is the Evo, is almost too small for playing any sort of a decent app game. Obviously, simple ones like Angry Birds or whatever those work fine on it just because they're designed to work on a small screen. So yes, I'm playing Angry Birds Star Wars. To continue with my Star Wars obsession. But other than that, I'm not playing anything on my phone.
Star Wars franchise needs to do as their next video game that they make, they need to go back to first person shooter like the Dark Forces and Dark Forces 2 was that those games were badass.
Yeah, I have to agree 100% on that. And now that Disney owns it, chances are we're probably going to see one sooner than later. Because it's quite obvious the numbers on the Old Republic numbers are not doing very good. they're holding their own, but they're not doing anywhere near what they were hoping it was going to after launch. So I would assume that Disney will start putting out console games at some point.
It's because Guild Wars 2 is spanking them. Guild Wars 2 is the MMO that you got to be playing now.
Yep, and fortunately, I've never gotten into Guild Wars. I don't know why, but there's something about that game that just seems eh.
See, my problem with it is I'm not a big fan of PvP in online games. And that's the reason why I stay away from Guild Wars.
Well, you're talking about the original. Guild Wars 2 is completely different.
Alright, I'm officially old. I have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. I do remember playing the original Guild Wars, and that was the reason why I didn't like it, because no matter what, you were just getting ganked by people that,
right.
You know, would sit there at spawn points like, it's a newbie, kill him.
Sure.
You know.
This new one, Guild Wars 2, you only PvP if you want to, and, there's not two factions, so, if you're in the same area as everybody else, they can't touch you unless you like say that you want to duel or whatever. And when you go into PvP, what PvP is you're doing server versus server, since there is no factions in the game, which is pretty cool. It's probably the best MMO out or ever created right now, in my opinion. And I played the Star Wars, and I played World of Warcraft for many years, and this one was a lot better.
Yeah, I've played Dark Age of Camelot, Anarchy Online, Star Wars Galaxies, Star Wars The Old Republic, and Lord of the Rings. I would say graphically, Lord of the Rings is by far the most beautifully rendered online game I've ever played. But I think story-wise, I think The Old Republic has got a real good storyline. Just for the fact that you don't have just one, depending on what class you play. You got six or eight different storylines, depending on if you're light side or dark. So at least for storytelling options, you have a lot more story you can play around with.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that for... I don't know. I guess if you're a Star Wars fan, I'd agree with that, that you're gonna have a better story with, the Old Republic, but for the, Guild Wars 2 does have a very good storyline and a lot of cutscenes, just like Star Wars did. One of the standout features that Guild Wars has over, or Guild Wars 2 has over the Old Republic is that the, that you can, pick up, well, basically there's these, missions that you can just join with people randomly, and you'll end up, raiding this huge boss, and you'll just have random people join you, and you all get loot pretty much, and you don't need to organize groups or to do an instance or whatever beforehand. You just walk into the area and you automatically are in, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that does sound pretty neat, actually.
That's what I think the main problem of the other MMOs out there right now is to do any of the cool instances or dungeons or whatever, you have to organize a group beforehand and sit there for an hour and try and find people to join your group.
Yeah, that is a big drawback with the Old Republic. Especially now, if you're playing, it seems to take forever to try to get into any PvP combat. A couple of weeks ago, I was on it, and I literally waited 4 hours, and I didn't even get into one PvP event, Warzone. And then I got dropped from the queue. That's not a good sign if you can sit there and play for 4 hours and not get into one Warzone.
Yeah. If you have to wait more than a half an hour to do anything in an MMO, something is damaged with the MMO.
I mean, I literally forgot that I was queued up for the war zones until I got a notice that I got dropped from the queue.
Yeah, and then you get the WoW problem of you can go ahead and do the auto grouping, but you are going to be stuck with the worst possible players that you could ever imagine. All I've heard about are just constant nightmares about the, auto dungeon features in Warcraft.
Yeah, that's pretty much true. I've done that a little bit in World of Warcraft, and you can get through, like, if you're doing an instance, you can get through, like, the first three bosses, and then out of five, let's say, and the next two, you're not going to be able to pass just because the group is bad.
And even if you do, well, they now fixed the looting problem where even if you did before, you'd end up getting totally rooked out of any decent drops.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe that companies are still willing to attempt online games for how much work and what appears to. Well, I don't know. I guess when you look at Lord of the Rings and see how much money they're making ever since they went free to play, and in a few other games that have managed to make a buku money.
Well, there's a lot of money to be had. The problem is that people keep on forgetting there's only a limited amount of money to pool from. So,
right.
Yeah, you're basically competing, you're not competing against the customers per se or trying to draw more customers in. You're competing against the other games that are out there. You have to draw their customers to you. On a side note, I found out what I want for Christmas now. A little late, but, I was talking about the Bluetooth controller for an Android. Turns out Nyko has come through with it.
Nice.
This thing is freaking awesome. And it works in either mouse mode or it works as a actual full gamepad on certain games. It's got like this playground mode that apparently kicks ass.
Nice.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. But it's $40.
If it's the only one, I wouldn't say that that's bad. I mean, just for like a PlayStation 3 controller, you're talking about $60 unless you could find it on sale.
Yeah. And this is a generic Bluetooth controller, which means you can use it as a game controller on a computer or laptop as well. And it works on the iPad, iDevices, Android, pretty much anything, except for consoles. because consoles suck.
Well, speaking of which, since we're coming up on Christmas here, what do you guys recommend for games for Christmas? And or what do you guys think of the Wii U?
It's garbage right now. It's not worth getting right now until they release some more games for it, in my opinion.
Everything I've heard is that the only game that's really worth playing on it is Super Mario Brothers, which shocking that
pretty much
that they built their system around one game.
I don't know. Tekken looks freaking awesome. Tekken Tag Tournament 2 on that looks pretty cool. But the big thing is that they went with a independent game developers license, similar to what Microsoft does for XNA. So we should see a lot of PopCap style games starting to show up for it. And if that happens, then they can compete. And actually they'll be able to compete with the iPad and the Android that way if they actually pull it off.
Sure. Yeah, I know the main problem right now is all the games, besides like Mario, you know, they advertise that you can, if somebody wants to watch TV, you can turn off the TV and just play on the pad. But I heard that it's like only Mario and like maybe another one or two games actually work like that. Or the rest of the games that came out with the release, you can't do that.
Yeah, I found out not only is it a complete and utter line of excuse me, but I forget what the guy's name is, the current CEO of Nintendo, he pulled a complete 180 on that game controller. You can't buy a second one, period. They're not releasing them for sale because they don't think people will buy them.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, put them up for $100. If a couple people buy them, hey, you made some money off of it.
Right.
But to completely deny people the option of buying them because you don't think they'll buy them is just shooting yourself in the foot. And then they're disabling or not enabling the rumored Virtual Console playthrough. That was one of the original advertising or rumored advertising things for it, is that you'd be able to play your Virtual Console games on that controller while someone's watching TV.
Sure.
And you can't do that.
Well, I mean, it's a good concept if they could get it to work correctly. I think it has potential of bringing a nice new feature to the industry, but it's pretty lame that once again they released it without making sure they could get it to work right.
Yep. And personally, I think AR, altered reality is, or augmented reality is currently the next innovative focus of the gaming industry.
It's gotta be, because they've pretty much maxed out the graphics. I mean, they could go a little bit farther, but you gotta think that, I mean, after this next generation of consoles and stuff, they have nowhere else to go. I mean, they're gonna max out the graphics, and then what do you do from there? You gotta progress into something like that.
Yeah. And in my opinion, they maxed out the graphics a long time ago. Right now, all they're trying to do is try to make the video games look real. And I think they're going about the whole idea the wrong way. Instead of making video games look real, make the real world look like a video game.
Well, then I think the other problem with the industry, too, is, well, not necessarily the industry, but consumers. People, especially nowadays, get so bored with things so quickly that unless you come up with something new to distract them, you're not going to make any more money.
Well, there's the humor of it, and a lot of the games have been doing this. I know it's built into Steam, it's built into the PlayStation 3, and certain Xbox games also have it built in. It's all part of the achievement systems and whatnot. They're analyzing how much people are actually playing through the video games that they're purchasing. And what they're finding is, in all of these new next-generation games, the average person's only making it 20% through the game. And meanwhile, you have kids going back to these classic games, and they will play them for hours, months, whatever, and they'll put more time into a classic or a low graphic game than they will one of these high-end games.
Well, now, do you think that's because they're making the games, newer games, far too complicated?
No. I think it's because the new games look pretty. They just don't have enough unique content to it. It's doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's a tough industry to try to corner a market in. I mean, let's face it, most people, especially younger people, say around your age, Nick, like to jump around quite a bit. There's a hard time staying focused on one specific task or game, for that matter.
Yeah, with all the, I mean, they're releasing a big title, you know, at least once a month, and it's hard to really commit to, like, Halo 4 came out, and then within a month, Black Ops 2 came out after that. So it's like, right now, you guys, there's people fighting over what to commit to. Are you going to commit to Halo 4, or are you going to commit to Black Ops 2 for the multiplayer? And I think most people will go Black Ops 2 because that's kind of the all-around thing right now to play for until 6 months down the road and something else comes out.
Right, and once again, once you're looking at that price point again of $40 to $60 for a new game, depending if you pre-order, I don't see why or how very many people could go and buy more than one brand new game at any given time.
And that's gonna be most of your console people right there, is the guys that are gonna switch every 6 months to that new hot game to play online with everybody. Where I think you're gonna have more longevity with the PC games. People are gonna play the PC game version of something a lot longer, or be able to go back to it and sit there and switch every 3 months when that new hot game comes out.
And some of the interesting information I've been hearing from the industry that's kind of insulting to the general population's intelligence is that because of this rapid switch, one of the thoughts is that they're not offering downloadable content early enough. So there's now a push to have downloadable content available when they release the game.
Sure.
And so, yeah, you pay, Black Ops is a perfect example of this too. Because they had that, subscription purchase in addition to it. Assassin's Creed did it. And
Borderlands 2, and there's been like 6 games this year that's done that. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yep, and so you pay $60 to buy the game, and then you spend another $30 for the downloadable content the day you buy the game.
Yeah, that's too much money.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. And that's why people play Words with Friends.
Well, rumor is Q4 of next year they're going to be releasing the new consoles, or the big ones, the Xbox 720 and the PS4. And what they're rumored to say is they're... A lot of the games that come out for it, they're gonna, like, lock you in, like, a CD key, like, if you were to buy it for the computer. So they're gonna cut out the used game sales, and, they think they're losing too much money to use games, like, GameStop does.
That's nice.
Utterly hilarious. I've already decided I'm not buying a PlayStation 4.
Well, Xbox is rumored to be doing that too, I agree. If they're definitely going that route, I'm committing to PC fully after that release.
Seriously, if they actually do go that route, they're basically just putting Steam at the forefront of the future of gaming.
Yep.
Well, Steam and Ouya. The Ouya probably is going to run all of them out of the market except for Nintendo.
Now, what exactly is the Ouya?
Some genius came up with this brilliant idea of doing a Kickstarter project to create a... basically, it's an open-source gaming system. So all the game development is free, and you, as a individual, you just buy the Ouya console, and you can play whatever games are out there. It's designed to be Android, fully hackable, and basically everything everybody used the PlayStation 3 for before Sony got all paranoid.
Nice.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty cool. It's a $100 console that should be popping up soon, and through Kickstarter, the person who started this raised like $9 million.
Bam. You gotta love Kickstarter.
Yep. When it works, it works.
And from everything that I've been looking into, it really works.
Mm-hmm.
There's very few things that that don't end up getting hit in their funding marks. Unless it's a really bad idea, of course.
Notice when we talk about PC games, and we talk about Steam and not Origin, because Origin is garbage and EA should die for creating that.
I pretty much agree. I mean, I've been forced to use Origin just because I've had to play The Old Republic.
Exactly.
I hate the interface. I just generally don't like it. Totally.
It could be worse. It could be Battle.net.
Oh God.
My God. I'm just so glad that, it wasn't Battle.net directly. I forget who it was. Somebody along that lines, one of the games installed a rootkit. And it just wreaked havoc on everybody's system until they pulled it. Yeah. The thing I love about Steam is that for the most part it's DRM free. But yeah, EA slash Square Enix is just riddled with crap, and then Battle.net itself is just a joke.
Yeah, it always has been. To tell the truth, I was shocked whenever I hear somebody say they're using Battle.net. Like, that's still around? Oh, okay, well.
Well, you gotta use it if you're using any of Blizzard's games.
Yep. Diablo 3, still use it.
Oh, okay.
Yep. It's the number one most hacked environment. Seriously, I re-subbed my Battle.net account to check out WoW for about a month. And I kid you not, I had a Battle.net account when they first introduced it, what was it, 10, 15 years ago. Stopped using it about that time. I had it active for 1 month, and I was already getting 100 hack attempt emails. So something is hacked on their system that they're pulling out user account information and identifying who their customers are.
Huh.
But just remember, Sony is the horrible problem right now. Right?
No, Sony's just lazy.
Well, no, getting back to our original question, what games do you guys recommend for the holidays season since Christmas is right around the corner? For gift-giving ideas?
Are you going PC gamer, or are you going console gamer?
Anything across the board, whatever you guys think is a good recommendation for a game. If you want to pick one from each category, one for Xbox, well, obviously, consoles kind of go across the board with each other, so pick one for each.
Well, if you're a console gamer, I'd say go with Black Ops 2, because, like I said, if you're a console gamer, you're going to want that new hot game, and that's the one to get. If you're a PC gamer, I've gifted this already for the holiday here. I bought it for three of my friends. I bought them Natural Selection 2 through Steam. It's a deal if you buy a 4-pack, so I bought a 4-pack for $75 and gifted it to three of my friends.
Nice. Where's my copy?
You don't like first-person shooters.
Yeah, but if somebody gave it to me, I would play it. Actually, no, let's get it right. I don't mind first-person shooters on the PC. I can't do it on a console.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Come on, I like the old Star Wars games when they still made fun, independent games.
Sure.
Yeah, for me, I'll still stick with, and I can't believe I'm saying it because it was definitely the worst game ever released. But for the console, or for the PC, I'm still gonna stick with, Final Fantasy, even though it won't be out till next year. But for gift-wise, yeah, I've got nothing for the PC. Nothing that I'd actually play right now. And console, Assassin's Creed 3. That game was just incredible.
Alright, sounds good. So what is coming out in the next few months, or probably the next, up to the next 6 months that's coming out that you guys have, that have piqued your interests? Anything out there?
Tomb Raider. I have been utterly disappointed by the last two of them, but the new one actually looks like they're finally getting back to their roots and creating a true puzzle game as opposed to trying to turn it into some weird first-person shooter.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, and that's why I'm staying away until the reviews come out for the new Tomb Raider. But the only really game that's really piqued my interest that I can't wait for is Grand Theft Auto 5. That thing just looks amazing.
Yeah, there's two that I, just because I'm a comic dork, I'm gonna have to go with Deadpool for the PS3. The Merc with a Mouth gets his own game. So that right there is just for the campness factor. I have to try that. And then the other one, sticking with the same comic theme, would be Injustice: Gods Among Us, the DC fighting game. It's like Mortal Kombat on crack with DC characters.
Nice.
Yeah, that looks good too. So, and yes, they are console games, but I can do fighting games for some reason. I'm weird. Can't handle first-person shooters on the console, but I can do fighting games.
Well, they're getting better, but yeah, there's something about the mouse control on a first-person shooter that you just can't compete with.
So, let's see. So for release dates, Injustice: Gods Among Us should be, the expected release date is April 2013. Tomb Raider is March 5th, 2013.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's favorite Merc, Deadpool, is about to be announced. So sometime in 2013.
Hopefully.
Which game are you talking about, Nick? Because I blanked.
For 2013?
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto 5.
That's what it was.
Hell.
And that will be out, well, sometime in 2013. I don't have a release date on that one yet, so.
Back up on the holiday giving, for consoles. I take back my, Black Ops 2. Cause if you're a real console gamer, you would already have that.
Yeah, that's true.
It's true.
What I would give everybody would be, I've heard nothing but good things about the Walking Dead game. There's 5 episodes, or 5 downloadable contents. They never actually released it until I think they either are coming out with it this week, or like one of these weeks, they're releasing all 5 episodes that you can actually buy the disc for. And, I've heard nothing but good things about that series.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing. A lot of rave reviews from pretty much everybody. It looks like IGN rates at a 9.5. They're ranked number 2, just under Batman Arkham City.
Yeah, Arkham City is another incredible one, but if you're into that kind of thing, you probably already own it.
Well, maybe, maybe not. I don't think up until recently, I didn't even know the game was out.
Wow.
Yeah. I got it on a Steam sale for, I think, $5.
Yeah, every time the Steam sales come up, I never have any money. So, it's happened like 4 times now. I just shake my fist in frustration.
Gotta save up. They do it for, there's a big one in fall and big one in summer. And that's when you get your best deals. I think I spent like $200 and I got, for the summer one. And I must have picked up like 50 or so games from that. It was just nuts. I just went crazy.
The real question is, will you ever find time to play them all?
No, I mean, I got Fear 2, Fear 3, and a couple expansion packs. I got all the Fallouts, Fallout 1, 2, 3, Fallout New Vegas, and the expansions for it. BioShock 1 and 2. Oh, I got every single Prince of Persia ever released. That's about all the series I got. But, yeah, I just went nuts, and if it looked like a good series, I just bought it, cause they were just pretty much on fire sale, and it'll be rare to ever see them at that those prices again.
That is true. Speaking of BioShock, obviously Nick, you liked the game, otherwise you went to VOD all of them. But have you played BioShock, D?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either. I was just curious. I see that BioShock Infinite is coming out March of next year.
Yeah, that game looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, I do want to check out the BioShock games. They do seem interesting, to say the least.
Be prepared to piss your pants.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of interesting things about it and how it's significantly more freaky than even Silent Hill. Silent Hill to me is probably one of the darker games that I've ever played. That and Dead Space.
Yeah, I got a free copy of Dead Space 2, I think, through Origin, with one of my graphics cards that I bought. And, of course, since it's through Origin, I can't get it to run on my PC for some reason. It won't boot up. I have no idea why.
Because Origin hates everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I can't explain it. I can play every single other game out there, but Dead Space 2 for some reason.
Switching over to the PC side, did you guys ever play StarCraft?
Of course.
God, no.
Well, you're not much of a strategy guy, though.
Well, the original StarCraft wasn't as bad. The new StarCraft is a click fest. Anything that rates your ability to play based on how fast you can issue commands is ridiculous.
This is true. I've played both of them.
Yeah, what is, to even compete in StarCraft 2, you have to be able to issue somewhere around, I want to say it was 160 commands a second.
Yes. So pretty much, if you're not Asian, you suck at StarCraft.
Yeah, apparently my nephew had just enough Asian in him. He's considered a moderate player.
Nice.
Well, did you see that they've got another, I'm assuming it must be an expansion. It's called StarCraft II, Heart of the Swarm.
Yep. I pretty much play through the story mode and call it a day, because if I try and play against anybody online, it's... You end up playing against some Asian and they just wreck you immediately. Like, you start gathering minerals in the game and they're already invading your base and it's over.
Yeah.
I had that same problem whenever you play like Age of Empires or Total War online. You forget about it. It's like playing hard mode against the computer, and it's like as soon as you start building a castle, all of a sudden you're being invaded by three different factions. What the hell? Where'd they come from?
Well, StarCraft really sort of took the whole Madden experience to a whole new level. And the reason I say the Madden experience is, you know, Madden's been doing championship tournaments for their video games.
Yeah.
And StarCraft, there are people who are making a salary off of playing StarCraft.
Yeah. I watch those tournaments and stuff sometimes. It's fun to watch them, but I know I could never never be anywhere near their level of skill.
Yeah, it is rather mind-boggling. And the older you get, the more scared you get when you try playing a game and you're like, "Oh, yeah. We went to we did a Counter-Strike tournament."
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, it was horrible. It was fun, but we all died. Like, as soon as the board loaded, we were dead within 5 minutes.
There was one team that literally sent one of their guys after us, and he killed us all.
Yeah.
Wow.
He knew the map so well that I was coming around a corner. I hadn't cleared the corner yet, and he shot me through a known particle hole in the wall. He just aimed at it and waited until he saw something coming around the corner, and he immediately shot where he knew a gap in the wall was.
Hex.
Yep. Yeah. They knew every weak spot. They knew every camping spot. They knew every gap, everything down to a T. So none of us had played it more than maybe a couple hours in our life, so we just got owned in seconds.
But at least we could chalk one up saying that we went to a tournament and got schooled, but it was fun.
Sure.
Yeah. We got to smell all of the urine and geek sweat.
That's a disturbing thought.
Right now, the biggest craze, though, for tournament play is League of Legends.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, my nephew sits there and watches. They have online shows of League of Legends plays, and it has a direct spectator mode so that gameplay can be watched and they can do live commentary while people are playing. It's just incredible.
Oh snap!
And it's free to play. That's a yep. free to play game. That's just gone nuts.
Yeah, that's awesome.
They're just making billions, I bet.
Oh yeah, free to play, pay to win.
Alright, so we all know that the Aliens franchise for video games has never exactly been the pinnacle of greatness.
There's been one good Alien game ever made.
Well, February, they're releasing Colonial Marines.
Yep.
What do you guys think? Have you seen the previews for it?
I've read up a little bit about on it, and I'm not that impressed. Now, the Colonial Marines game looks like they took something like the Dead Space engine and just swapped skins.
Well, I mean, realistically, that's kind of what they do when it comes to franchise games, like based on movies.
That's true.
There's not a whole lot of original content. It's what can we produce that'll get convince people to buy it.
And if you look at some of the backbone behind some of the more powerful game engines right now, those things have taken anywhere from 5 to 10 years to develop.
Well, I will admit, though, the multiplayer aspect of it does sound kind of fun. As long as you can play the alien side also. But I don't...
Yeah.
That's why I like that natural selection too. That's what it is. It's aliens versus marines.
So what you're telling me is they ripped off the aliens franchise.
Well, I mean, there's kind of yes and no. I mean, I don't know how. I've never played the Alien versus Predator series, and I don't know can the aliens in those games like walk on the ceilings and
yes.
Fly? Can they fly though?
No.
No, they can't.
No, they just run around.
Well, this one, some of them can fly. Some of them, like, blink. Like, you can fade in and out of combat. And so you can, like, stealth and pop out right next to a Marine and just take them down right away and then pop back into stealth, which is pretty cool. Yeah, it's that, but then they added that StarCraft element to it where on each side the aliens have a commander and the Marines have a commander and he gives you orders to build this, to defend this territory, to go destroy this alien structure or hold this waypoint type deal, which is a pretty cool element that's pretty unique to it.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
Watch the trailer for it. It'll blow your mind.
Well, I'm even more excited because they're releasing Total War Rome 2. Bam! Because I cannot get enough of Total War. I love that franchise. I pretty much own all of them, so. Well, now I'd like to take a moment to share with you a recording I did earlier today with our friend Craig, who lives in Scotland. And he was nice enough to share some time with us to discuss some video games that he grew up with in the UK and here in the States. So without any further delay, let's listen to that. Are you playing any video games right now?
Well, the one I was playing just earlier on today was Elite. For those of you that don't know it, Elite was an old BBC microcomputer game done by Acorn Soft in the early 80s. It's a 3D space game. Let's see. It's basically a trading game, but you also indulge in combat as well. Go through 8 different galaxies, God knows how many planets per galaxy, and you can rotate through the galaxies more than once. And you have to basically reach your combat status of elite. And you can buy different equipment for your aircraft, or your craft, so to speak. And you basically have to stay alive. I can't say enough about the mechanics of the game like this, in this format. You'd have to literally Google it and look for Elite Game from the 80s, and get basically the gen from that.
Now, what system did that originally launch on?
It launched on the old BBC microcomputer Model B. Now, since then, there's been a PC clone of it called the BBC Emulator, which was essentially a software clone, and you could, with that, you can get the software clone if you've got a PC. Look for a BBC Emulator, and then you can, once you get that, you can then look through some of the old software games that are available, and Elite is on there. Now, it's a little bit complicated to get started with, but there's a good readme and a good manual whereby you can get the nuts and bolts of it and start off. Now, it's a little difficult to start off. I say that because when you have to dock at a various space station, you have to do it manually until you earn enough credits to buy a docking computer. Now, once you get close enough to the planet and you detect the space station, you can line up with the space station and then hit C on your keyboard, and a docking computer will automatically send you in.
That sounds pretty cool.
I mean, it's not as retro as, say, like any of the old Atari games like Pac-Man or anything like that. This video games and computer gaming one step further. And it's just, you just have to find it and get it set up and all that to get the idea of it yourself.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at it right now. It looks pretty cool. I like the images from it.
Pretty good. Now, there was, the original version was just, the drawback to that is even if there was like a planet or something in front of you, you could always see the stars in the background. So it was the first game, but it needed some tweaking. However, I believe there was, I think, a second generation of Elite of the same general format. The not the planets necessarily, but the different craft that if you were in combat, you didn't see like stars or anything like that through them, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Yeah. Yep. No, that makes sense. It looks a little bit larger than the original Commodore 64. That's big.
It was a big puppy.
It looks like a typewriter without the paper insert.
Yeah, it was a big beast, and at that time you only had cassette drives.
Yep.
You could only get the games on a cassette, and it was a cassette drive. And eventually, when they came out with the floppy disks, that was the smoothest thing since creamy peanut butter.
I remember my dad picked up a used one for the Commodore 64, and it didn't work. we were so close to having cutting-edge technology.
But since I've got this, basically this cheap, nasty, my old Sony laptop that I've had since almost a year and a half before I moved to the UK, it's, until I get reliable money, this thing's my lifeline, and I need some sort of game to keep me going. Because I've pretty much done every format or everything on Shogun Total War. And that's starting to get rather boring because now I can finish a campaign within a night.
Have you played any of the other Total Wars? Like Total War 2 or
no,
European campaigns?
Well, I've tried the Total War Europe. That's medieval Total War. It's not quite the same thing. Yeah. I've not tried Total War 2, because I don't know if my processor will handle it, because mine's pretty much a six-year-old laptop. I can't guarantee it's not going to, like, you know, hesitate and freeze up and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it should be able to handle it. It isn't too graphically intensive. But 2 is a lot more difficult than the original.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm, I see.
But it's a lot of fun. I'm still playing it. I play it through Steam right now, so...
Well, that's something to bear in mind. You know, maybe it's because I'm such an old fart. I just like the Elite a lot more.
Yes, we've officially hit the age of... Are we reaching old fart stage?
Old fartedom, I guess.
Well, we were discussing the other day about the fact that I am horrible with, like, the PS3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know why. I've never been able to get into them. Even when the NES came out, I wasn't very good with those either.
I was never a big fan of them because you couldn't do anything except play games on them, and frankly, it's just not the same thing. I guess it's kind of akin to how I feel about, you know, with shortwave radio now. A lot of the stations, a lot of the countries are now doing their broadcasts online because it's cheaper, and now they're trying to switch to the DRM format, which is essentially, unless you've got a good receiver, which there aren't any for DRM, you have to listen to one or two of the old stations online. And for me, that's cheating.
Ah, okay.
only way to play a good video game is on the computer or in an arcade. On these little portable systems, it's not the same thing.
So, what was your favorite game you played when you were growing up?
With BBC, you mean?
With or in that, general? Or here in the States?
Well, my favorite growing up on this side of the pond was Elite. When eventually my dad got a Windows PC, one of the first ones. This is when Windows was operating on 3.1. So you can tell that was a while ago.
Oh, yeah.
There was a Battle of Britain game that at the time I thought was absolutely brilliant. Now, of course, 20-odd years later, you look back at it and realize the graphics are absolute crap, but they were as good as it could get. And so, but at the same time, that Battle of Britain 1940 game, don't remember who put it out, but it was good to play because it kept me busy, and it was my first real combat flight sim. And then Microsoft came out with their combat flight simulators, starting with 1 and then 2 and then 3, and I got really into those.
Yeah, those were a lot of fun to play.
God, they were.
You actually got me hooked on those.
I did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool. But the one I want to get really now is from the old IL-2 format of combat flight sims. It's called Cliffs of Dover, basically a Battle of Britain version of a lot of the IL-2 flight sims. Thing is, I need a decent computer to do it, and I don't have one.
Now, did that one just recently come out? Because I thought I saw something.
Yeah, it'd been delayed for years.
Oh, okay.
Development problems. I mean, it was about 3 years behind schedule, and they ended up... Initially, it was going to be called IL-2 Storm of War Battle of Britain Edition, and they put out a couple of beta trailers of it, but there was too many problems with it, and they kept delaying it, and finally they just said, stuff it, and they renamed it. And I've seen lots of YouTube clips for it, and the graphics are out of this world. I mean, if I had a decent computer system and a decent, you know, like either yoke or a flight joystick, I'd be all over that. Because of the fact that finances aren't the best right now is one reason that I've not got another computer. And second of all, in my third year of university, I've got to actually do it abroad. Going to have to do it in either Germany or Switzerland as part of my degree.
Oh, okay.
So I won't be able to really get a computer then.
Yeah, that'll make it more difficult. Unless you can somehow manage to get a newer laptop.
Theoretically, I could. However, a lot of this... I've been trying for years to figure out which processors or graphics cards will support it. Now, they say which desktop graphics cards will support it. They say it may work on these graphics cards, but they're not supported. So now I've got to think about the fact, like, it would be nice to have a great laptop and that. But what if I get a laptop that won't play the freaking game?
Yeah, well, there is always that hazard.
So until I know exactly what's going on, I'm just content with this.
Nothing wrong with that. Well, thanks, Craig, for giving us a little bit of insight onto your, especially on the other side of the pond, for gaming. And hopefully we'll have you back on the show again.
Sounds good, my man. Sounds good.
Well, that does it for another episode of the Geeks Menagerie. Good night, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Stay classy, San Diego.